Appreciate that special by Ivy and her parents. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Bear with me, my voice is a little off today. I told the Sunday school class I was going to preach as long as my voice would hold out, and they could pray for that accordingly. So this may not last long, depending on whose prayers are answered today. I feel better than I sound and look, I think, so. I was waiting for it. Next Sunday, we are planning to have what we call Vision Sunday, and just meaning that we want to cast a vision for the new year. I realize we're already halfway through January, but we want to look ahead at what God has laid on our hearts and things that we want to focus on in the new year. But I always like to take the time to look back. So Lord willing, next Sunday we'll have a video to show some of the highlights of the past year. But this morning we want to look back biblically at some of the things that we've studied, kind of look back at where we started in 2023. I don't know about you, but the years seem to be going faster and faster. And I think it's important for us to slow down and to really try to meditate on and think on the things that God has shown us from His Word. I know I've said it a lot lately, and you're going to hear it probably a lot more this coming year, but we need to be transformed by the Word of God. We don't just need more information. We need transformation. And so we want to make sure that we're getting the things that God is giving us. And really, where would we be in our Christian life today if we actually were changed by the things that God has shown us in the past? That we didn't just say, oh, that's really good, and then go on and try to learn something else, but where we were actually conformed to the image of Christ by His Word and by His Spirit, we would be in a much different place today. So we're, like I said, we're going to talk today, looking back on the past year, and then by the grace of God, we'll move forward into the new year next Sunday with our Vision Sunday services. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 is where we're going to find our text. Let's pray together, and then we'll read the scriptures this morning. Our Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace today, Lord, we are thankful for the blessings of the past year. You have been incredibly good to us, wonderfully good to us, and we have so much more than we could ever need. You've blessed us so much more abundantly than we could ever deserve. Lord, we know that it's only by your grace and your mercies that are new every morning that we have our life, and we're thankful. And Father, as we look back at the scriptures that we've talked about this past year, I pray that you would convict our hearts. Maybe there were things that you showed us throughout the year and convicted us about that we walked away unchanged. And I pray that won't happen today. I pray that you won't allow us to be forgetful hearers, but we'll be doers of the word and not hearers only. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to preach by the power of your Spirit today. Give grace and help. And Lord, we pray, as always, that if anyone hearing this message has never been born again, that today would be the day of their salvation, that they would hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they would trust in you for salvation today, and that everyone who is saved, you will help us, Lord, by your grace, to continue to walk with Jesus, to continue in your word, to be real disciples. Please help the number of the disciples to be multiplied in this place to your glory. Forgive us and help us. We do pray today for our brothers and sisters who can't be here today. Please give them grace and bless and watch over them. We thank you for this time, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We started here back at the beginning of the year. Our theme for the past year has been life in Christ, and here's really the crux of it all. In order to have life, you must have Christ. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you do not have life. What do I mean? You say, well, listen, I'm alive right now. I'm talking about spiritual life versus spiritual death, because all of us are dead in our trespasses and sins without Christ. We are dead. We are separated from God. We are condemned, justly so, because we have all broken God's commandments and we all have the penalty of death on us. But when you come to God by faith in his son Jesus, who became a man, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day, when you trust in him alone, he takes you from death and he gives you life. He brings you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. And so to live, you must have faith in Christ. But not only do we live by having faith in Christ, but we must live by faith in Christ. What do I mean? I mean that we don't just have life by faith in Christ, but we have to live our Christian life by faith in Christ. You cannot be saved without the grace of God, and you cannot live the Christian life without the grace of God. It's not difficult to be a Christian. It's impossible to be a Christian without the power of the Spirit of God working in you and through you. And that's really what it was all about. We were in the middle of our study in the book of Acts on Sunday mornings, and we're still in that same study today because we not only on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights were walking through Acts, but when we came to a place where a letter was written in that time period, we've studied those letters. So in the beginning of the year, we studied through the book of Acts, chapter 17, which was Paul's second missionary journey, and chapter 18, when he went from Athens to Corinth. There in Corinth, he wrote the letter to Thessalonica, the first letter, and we studied that letter. And then after that, we studied this, the letter 2 Thessalonians. And then after that, we studied the letter to the Galatians, the churches of Galatians. You might remember Galatia is a Roman province. It's modern-day Turkey. That was places like Derbe and Lystra and Iconium. And so we studied the letter to the Galatians, which, by the way, we ought to love all the Bible, right? But man, Galatians is one of my favorite New Testament books, and we got to study and walk through that letter. It was a defense of the messenger, Paul as an apostle, and the message of the gospel. Can you believe that early on, there were people who came into the churches of Galatia and were teaching that it's good that you have faith in Jesus, but you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. You got to put yourself back under the law. And Paul says, man, you guys started so well by faith, and now you're going to put yourself under the law? Who has bewitched you? Who led you astray? And so he preaches the message back to them again and strengthens them in their faith. And aren't you thankful today that we have the scriptures to go to, that we can say, you know, somebody was telling me the other day at work that, man, you got to be baptized to be saved. You got to do this or you got to do that. And you can look to the scriptures and you can know you can't be saved any other way except by faith in Christ alone. So we get to study those things. And as we approach summertime, we took a little break and we were challenged to redeem the time from Mother's Day to Memorial Day, just trying to remind everybody that while maybe you're going to get a break from school and maybe summertime's going to be a little more relaxed, maybe not, but that we want to redeem the time. We don't want to waste the time God has given us, but we want to redeem the time because the days are evil. And so we were challenged to do that as we approached summertime. We came back briefly to Acts, and when we walked right back into 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote that letter from Ephesus to a church in Corinth that was both carnal and confused. And so that letter challenged us not to walk in the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. That letter challenged us to not be confused about all the issues there are in the world and Christianity, but to have the truth and to walk in the truth. We move from there back to 2 Corinthians. That was written from Philippi during the third missionary journey. And Paul was anxious to hear how the church responded to another letter he had written. He refers to it as a harsh letter. And so he had challenged them harshly to repent and to get right and to stop following false teachers. And he was dying to see how they responded to that. And they responded well. They responded in biblical repentance, and we have been studying there. We're actually, we stepped away from that for the holidays. Since the middle of November, we kind of stepped away and been studying verses dealing primarily with our Savior's birth and the events that happened after his birth. But very soon, we're going to be getting back into 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and then finishing out the book of Acts and also Romans. So a lot in store as we look forward. But, man, that's just think about that. How many books of the Bible we studied last year? How many of them we walked through verse by verse, learning the scriptures, and we got to do that together? And I know it's a blessing for me to stand up here, Brother Ben, to stand up here and teach and preach these things. I hope it's been a blessing to you. On Wednesday nights, we began studying the Old Testament for scriptures concerning Christ. You might remember in Luke chapter 24, when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus, he kind of disguised himself miraculously from two of the disciples that were walking, and he began to teach them. Luke 24:27 says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus, walking with those two disciples, started in the beginning and just starts telling them all of the scriptures that had to do with Messiah, which of course was him. And what an incredible, incredible walk that must have been. I long to know, and I think we will. Maybe you don't think that way, but I think one day in heaven, we'll be able to sit down with the Lord and get to hear from him what he told them. You think that's possible? Because I want to know. Because we don't know. But we've been studying on Wednesday nights. We started in February last year, walking through on Wednesday nights from Genesis 1. And we've made it through Genesis, highlighting different places. Chapter 1, 3, 6, 11, 12, 13. We jumped into Hebrews for a while as we learned about how Jesus is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. You guys remember that? Went back into Genesis 15 to 17, 22, 28, 32, and into Exodus. We've looked at passages in chapter 3, 12, 14 to 17, 23 to 24. And again, we've kind of taken a break from that during the holiday season, but we'll be getting back into Exodus, learning more scriptures concerning Christ. So many things in the Bible are going to point to him. Why? Because all 66 books of the Bible that you have in your hand this morning have one author. And all 66 of those books are put together to tell about one person. Your Bible is about Jesus. The entire story of the scripture is this, friends. God created everything in perfection, and mankind wickedly rebelled against God. And because of our rebellion, God set in motion a plan of redemption. And that's what the entire Bible is about, that God made a way for mankind to be redeemed unto himself. And the way, you guys with me? It's not, we talk about the plan of salvation, we talk about the process of salvation, we use those phrases. I want you to understand something today. Salvation isn't a plan. Salvation is a person. It's not a ABC, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Salvation is Christ. It's not a plan. It's a person. And the entire Bible is about him. And I have loved getting to walk through the Old Testament. We're going to keep doing that this year. Walking through the Old Testament, seeing pictures of Jesus, or seeing actual instances where Jesus showed up in the Old Testament before he was ever born in Bethlehem. What a Savior. What is man that we are that God is mindful of us? Or the Son of Man, that God would visit us. And he did. He did visit us. He came to be one of us so that through him we could be made one with him. Throughout all of it, last year, the goal has been for us to see and know Jesus through his word. My heart's desire for me and for all of you is that we would know him, that we would trust him, and that we would continue in his word with him, that we would both have life in Christ and live our lives in Christ. I'm afraid for too many Christians, the Christian life, our life in Christ, has been boiled down to our time together in church. And while this is a vital component, this is not your Christian life. Now, I want you to get this, because some of you, when I start talking like this, you think I'm saying that church isn't important, and nothing could be further from the truth. This is the body of Christ. It's absolutely vital. But this gathering together with the body is not your Christian life. It can't be. And there are too many Christians in America today who go to church, and that's their Christian life, and they walk out of these doors, and they go back to their old life, their secular life, their godless life, their life where they give little acknowledgement to God at all except for maybe to ask Him to bless their food. And not to diminish that, I think some of you have amazing faith that you could go through the drive-thru at McDonald's and ask God to bless that to the nourishment of your body. I mean, do you actually believe that when you pray it? Not with McDonald's. We go to McDonald's and we ask God to bless it to the nourishment of our body. Do you have any idea what's happened to those French fries before they go into your mouth? Any idea what they did to that thing they call a hamburger before it goes into your mouth? And we have faith. We're asking God to bless things outside. I understand that. But I'm talking about living your life in Christ, that everything about your life is wrapped up in Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. And God help us to live that way. Back in our text, Colossians chapter 3. Let me walk through this with you very quickly. There's a qualifying statement. It starts with the word if. So this isn't an absolute for everyone. This is a very important question. If ye then be risen with Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ. Now he's pointing back. Stay with me for a second. He's pointing back to chapter 2 and verse 12, where he says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. If ye then be risen with Christ, how are we risen with Christ? Well, it's through the faith of the work of God. What does that mean? Okay, real quick question. Does baptism save you? Does baptism wash away your sins? Does baptism cleanse you and make you pure in the eyes of God? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So when we see that we're buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So what is he saying? Baptism doesn't save us, but it's a picture of our salvation. What is our salvation based on? Faith in the operation or the work of God. And what was the work of God? What was the work that God sent Jesus to do? God sent his Son into the world to save sinners. How did he do that? He did that by being obedient. The second Adam, Jesus, was obedient in every way. Where the first Adam, the first man, sinned and failed, Jesus Christ was obedient in every way. He came into this world to save sinners, and he did that through the suffering of death. Because Jesus was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, Philippians 2. So, the operation of God, the work of God, was that God would send his Son into the world, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, who was slain for our sins. And when he died, he was buried. For 3 days and three nights, he laid in the tomb. And on the third day, he rose again. The power of God allowed Jesus to lay down his life and to take it up again. And when you have faith in that work of God, you too are dead Now you're not dead in your trespasses and sins. Now you're dead to sin. And you have been given new life in Jesus Christ. You're raised to walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6. Now, baptism doesn't save you, but it's a picture of, one, what Christ did for you. He died, was buried, and rose again. Not only a picture of what Christ did for you, but what Christ has done in you who are saved. When you trusted Jesus as your Savior, your old person, your old man, that sinful person died. Your old man was nailed to the cross, crucified with Christ, and you are a new creation in Jesus Christ now. Not that you will be, but you are now. Okay, everybody still with me? I know it's cold outside, it's warm in here, you're all sleepy, and I've got such a soothing voice today. You're all relaxed. When are you a new creature in Christ? Help me out, my ears are stopped up, come on. When you're born again, I'm a new creation in Christ when I'm saved. Not one day I will be, but I am. So are you risen with Christ? That's the question. If ye then be risen with Christ, are you risen with Christ? What's the question? Are you trusting in the work of Jesus? Are you believing that he died for you and rose again? Are you saved? Are you born again? Hey, I'm asking you a question. Are you born again? Are you saved? Are you alive in Christ today? Are you risen? You say, it doesn't feel very risen. I feel like I'm in a dying body, because you are, but spiritually you are alive in Christ. He uses present tense language to say things like, we sit together in the heavenlies in Christ, like it's done. It's finished. So you are alive in Christ today. And friend, hear me. If you're not alive in Christ today, you can be. You must trust in Christ alone. Repent and believe the gospel, because the kingdom of heaven is here. So turn away from your sin and unbelief. Put your faith in Christ alone. And when you do that, you are risen with Christ. So if you're risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Okay, you guys with me still? Are you risen with Christ? Yes. Then seek things above. The word seek is really a Hebraism for worship. It has to do with our desire. So if you are risen with Christ, if you're saved, then worship things above. Desire heavenly things. And then he says, set your affection or exercise your mind on things that are above. Well, what's above? He is. He sits at the right hand of the Father. His kingdom is above. It's heavenly, not earthly. So our attention, our worship, our desire, where we're exercising our mind, ought to be on heavenly things, not on earthly things. This ought to convict your heart. It certainly does mine. Because I think we exercise our mind on earthly things far more than we do on heavenly things. God help us to have a heavenly focus. God help us to have heavenly desires. God help us to exercise our mind on things above. Okay, just a real quick survey. How many of you guys take in any news media during the week? Like you watch the news on TV or you read the news online or anything like that? Could you just put your hand up? Don't be ashamed. It's okay. You keep up with what's going on in the world. Can I ask you a question? Does that encourage your heart? Or does it kind of crush your soul? I'm not saying you should like bury your head in the sand and not know what's going on in the world. I am saying that you should not exercise your mind on those things. Hey, if I would say this, best case scenario, knowing what's going on in the world today is just something to pray for. Figure out what's going on. And then take it and lay it down at the feet of Jesus and leave it there. Because I'm going to tell you something. He's the only one that can do anything about any of it anyway. News and media and social media today, for me, can't be much more than that. Places to find things to pray for. Amen. If you get consumed with it, it will depress you and discourage you and dishearten you. And it takes your focus away from things above. Are you risen with Christ? Then seek and set your affection on things above. Why? Verse 3. For, or because, you are dead. Do you feel encouraged this morning? You're dead. You're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. The life you had before, it's gone. The old man is crucified. Paul would say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The old man is dead. He's buried. That's what your baptism was supposed to represent. It's not where it happened. It happened at your salvation, but it's supposed to picture that. When you come up over those baptism waters, it's supposed to picture the fact that your old man is left behind and you're living a new life in Christ. Your life is hid with Christ in God. My life is not my own anymore because I've been bought with a price. The precious blood of Christ has purchased me every part of my life. Another problem we have as Christians in America today is compartmentalizing our lives. Some of you are suffering from multiple personality disorder because you have one personality at home and a different personality at school and a different personality at work and a different personality with your friends and a different personality at church. And we become all of these different people in all these different places. And what you need to do is get rid of all that nonsense and be who you are in Christ. I don't know if you struggle with this, but as a pastor, sometimes I look at other pastors and I think, man, I wish I was like that guy. You guys ever do that in your life? Whatever it is, maybe there's somebody at school, maybe somebody you play ball with, maybe somebody at work. I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of great pastors alive today, a lot of great pastors from history, and so many of them I look like, man, I wish I could be like that guy. But God really started doing a work in my heart a few years ago to understand this. I am Isaac Slape. That's who I am. I'm never going to be somebody else. So I just want to be who God made me to be. And that's true for all of us, right? Stop trying to be somebody different and pretending to be somebody different. Figure out who Christ made you to be and be that. Always worried about what everybody else thinks. Always worried about that picture we put out there for the world. We need to have our affections set on things above and realize that our old man is dead and my life I have now is wrapped up in Jesus. That's who I am. I am who he makes me to be. You're dead. That's a little depressing. So let's read verse 4. Maybe it'll get better. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Amen. Jesus is coming again. And when he appears, you who are risen in Christ will appear with him in glory. You guys look at it. These are beautiful words, aren't they? Look. He's in me. His spirit is the earnest. I know I have eternal life because he's put his spirit within me. But one day I'm going to be with him. With him. I will be like him where I will see him as he is. I will see my Savior face to face. I can say like Job, when the skin worms have destroyed this flesh, yet in my flesh shall I see God. my Redeemer, he lives, and I will see him myself, not another. If you're risen with Christ, he is coming again, and when he appears, you will be with him. Friends, listen, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what wars rage across the globe or right here at home. Listen to me. It doesn't matter what disease ravages this planet next. Man-made, sent as judgment from God, demon created. It doesn't matter. Whatever wars rage, whatever diseases come, whatever famine happens, whatever natural disasters, no matter what happens on this planet, friends, one day Jesus is coming again and he makes all things new. And when he comes, I'm going to see him and I'm going to be with him. And if you are risen with Christ, so will you. Are you risen with Christ? Then seek and set your affection on things above, because you're dead and your life is hid with Christ. And when he appears, you'll appear with him. Therefore, live your life in Christ. From verses 5 down to verse 17, it's basically this. I'm going to challenge you to read it this afternoon. Verses 5 through 17 are like this. Put off the old man. Mortify your members upon the earth. Put on the new man. That's really it. Put off the old and put on the new. Now, this is real deep theology. Try to stay with me, okay? If God says to put off the old and put on the new, that would seem to indicate to me that it would be possible for us to keep living in the old man. And to live in such a way that I'm not putting on the new man. You guys with me? I mean, if he says do it, that means that it would be possible to not do so. So if I'm going to live my life in Christ, it just doesn't happen magically like through osmosis. It means that I have to act on my faith. That I actually have to put action to my faith. It's by his grace and the power of the Spirit, but I still have to do it. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Mortify your members that are upon the earth. Put those things out of your life and put on the new man. Look at verse 10. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So I put off all the old, I put on the new. And I do it by the power of the grace of God. This morning, are you thankful for how God has been good to you the last year? And glorify God. This morning, do you have life in Christ? Are you risen with him? Guys, you're not dead in your trespasses and sins anymore. You're alive in Jesus. The joy of the Lord ought to fill up your heart today. If you're saved, what I'm trying to say is it would be okay to smile this morning if you're saved. And if you're not saved, then you need to cry out to God for mercy, and then you can smile. God's been so, so good to us. Let's live the life he's given us for him. So much more I'd like to say today, but some of you prayed for my voice to fail, so... maybe not. I just know this. God has given us everything we need to live for him. He's given us everything we need to have life and to live our life in Christ. So this morning I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Word of God today. If you've never been born again, whether you're in this room this morning or you're watching online, if you've never been saved, you need to know this. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He did that through his death and resurrection. And the word of God is clear. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You must repent, turn away from your sin and unbelief. And you must trust with all your heart that Jesus died for you and rose again. You put your faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus and he will save you. Call on his name and be saved. Salvation is in Christ. Not in a plan, not in a process, but in a person. It's in Christ alone. Trust in him alone today. If you are saved, then rejoice, brother and sister. You are risen with Christ. And let's rededicate every day our lives to live for the one who died for us and rose again. Renew your mind every day. If he's convicting your heart, a decision you need to make today for salvation, for baptism, for anything else, whatever it is, you come while we sing.
Page 516.